The following unedited footage has been declassified by the Banzai Institute for Biomedical Engineering and Strategic Information.
Ladies and gentlemen,
welcome to the world's worst program.
Welcome back, Jack and Jill, of course. This is Ross Rader, podcasting as live as I can be from Cassette Disco in Spring Came Early, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, for January 3rd, happy 2005. This is Random Bites. Wow, it's been almost 3 weeks on the couch for me. And this is my my first show of the year, my first non-holiday show in... Well, in 3 weeks now. Pretty excited about things. Slightly new format. A crappy mic, so that might happen again. One of the downsides to being stuck on the couch is that I can't get out and pick up some new cables. I've known about this problem for a while. It's just getting worse, so I apologize in advance. Anyways, I got a slightly new format worked out. More about the music and less about me. That's not to say my preening and ranting is going to be completely going away, but rather I think that you can get a more healthy dose of that kind of stuff elsewhere in the potosphere. And I don't really have that much to add. Personally, I'd rather be going on finding cool new tracks to share with you, digging a little bit deeper on these artists, and really trying to spread as much indie joy as I possibly can. And it certainly beats tossing another opinion on the fire as to why podcasting is such a stupid name. Anyways, I'm going to be jiggling the show knobs and dials over the next few weeks, so make sure you drop me a line at ross@2cows.com and let me know what works for you and what doesn't. You know, I'm certainly always open to hearing from my listeners, even if there's just one of you. I know there's not. I know there's more than one. Anyways, this week I wanted to, before I kick things off the music portion of the show, I wanted to talk a little bit about why podcasting is hard, or why people think podcasting is hard. And I think there's two answers there. The first is structural. The audio PC, and by PC I mean personal computer, not IBM. So I'm not talking just about Windows here, but I think the home computer audio experience generally sucks. Even with cool tools like GarageBand or Mixcraft or even WavePad, Audacity, all these tools, the interfaces on them are kind of bad. The sound cards that they're putting into these machines are just bad. Half of them don't even allow for users to kind of record in the way that you need to in order to make podcasting cool, i.e. you want to be able to play a track and talk over it quite easily. And it's just PCs weren't put together for that kind of stuff. It was kind of always assumed that you wanted to play games, so let's focus on the audio output. And audio input really hasn't evolved over the years. Also related to that structural challenge is the fact that RSS generators, I'm talking about blogging tools here, they don't make it easy enough to inject enclosures into the RSS itself. So I'm reading all of these messages on all these message boards and forums and mailing lists that I'm on related to podcasting. And, there goes the mic. Just let me try this here. 1 second. I'm back. I just muted the mic while I jiggled the cord a bit. Sorry about that. So I'm reading all of these messages on all of these different boards and forums and mailing lists, and I'm hearing about users that are having to read the RSS 2.0 specification, interpret what it means for themselves, and then generate their own RSS in Notepad. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm a big fan of well-informed users. But... that's sort of, in my mind, kind of like lining up magnetic particles on a piece of tape by hand so that you can listen to your own music. That's just like a really manual way of going about the whole podcasting gig. And it's just like, wow. And and I'm really, I think it's amazing that people are motivated to do that. Obviously, that means they're excited and passionate about what's going on with podcasting. They want to get involved. So I'm, you know, don't hear this as any sort of discouragement of that. But it really points out how bad tools are right now, or how poorly suited they are to actually facilitating podcasting. You know, that's gonna change quickly as well, I believe. So I think these challenges are really temporary. And there's a third aspect to the structural challenges. You know, it's all being bootstrapped as we speak. It's all very real time. Rewind now back to the beginning of this little journey. Not the very beginning, but the beginning of its popularization. And we're in all of September of 2004. So it's, you know, the space really hasn't had a chance yet to sort out the winning formats and processes and applications, or for the shims and widgets that really make it cool and easy to be developed. You know, so everything right now is very time intensive. Which takes me into my second bit, which is the formats that people are choosing. So on one hand, we have the structural challenges, and now there's this formatting challenge as well. And I've noticed that people are wanting to do big things with their podcasts, and that means doing a radio show. And, you know, that includes myself. I'm, you know, my hands up in the air. I'm just as guilty. But that takes prep time, that takes production time, that takes recording time, it takes time to do a show. You know, just twigging on this new format and getting the background and together and all the stuff I need to do for this show, I'm into it for about 3.5 hours when everything is said and done, when I've got the recording out and uploaded and on the web, and that's a huge luxury that I'm taking advantage of there. You know, I've got the time, thankfully, to do this on Sunday afternoons. It's pretty quiet around here, so I can do these sorts of things. But that's not a luxury the mass market has. Now, of course, this is all going to change as the tools evolve, but the net result is that it really does take time to put out the shows. So I think hopefully we see a trend over the short term towards shorter productions, because the ones that are out there right now are really, 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 really cool, doing little technology reviews or, you know, quick sound bites of information. And I think that it's these shorter segments, and let's call those 1 to 5 minute podcasts. I think the podosphere and the developers and even the users need to pay more attention to those shorter podcasts. Even if they're not engaged in producing their own, I think we need to really understand what's going on with these shorter bits of audio content in order that grassroots generated audio content as a whole is going to take root. Because I think what's going to happen is that the mass market, if they do latch on to this thing, are going to engage in it in a very short, soundbitey, snappy sense. They're going to relate to audio content on the internet more in the same way that they relate to web blog content, i.e. short, snappy little posts, than they would to producing out a weekly radio show like I do. My dad, I might be able to convince him to, you know, do a 1 minute segment on this, that, or the other thing. I'm not going to convince him to do a 1 hour segment on this, that, or the other thing. He's going to be interested in calling in a recap of a museum tour that he just took, or leaving a general message for his family when he's out traveling, or things like that. He's not going to want to be doing Casey Kasem's Rock Top 40. So creating shows or creating tools for show people, those people that are doing 40-minute shows, 1-hour shows, half-hour shows, anything more than 5 minutes, I don't think is going to move podcasting forward in the way that it needs to be, unless users and developers really understand and embrace what's going on with these shorter productions. We're just not going to have an environment that's going to really appeal to the mass market. And I think that's important. All of these steps forward that we've seen over the last few years really, really put the internet back in the hands of the people that can most benefit from it. Weblogs are a great equalizer like that. Let's take the mystery out of the technology and give everybody a printing press, and a printing press that doesn't presume any type of format. You can pretty much use a weblog for whatever you want. And it's important that people have access to technology like that if the internet is going to continue on in the way that it has for the last 20 years. By allowing these barriers to remain high and continuing to create tools that appeal to people like me, it's just going to further creep back into the bowels of corporations that don't really care about you and me. So, let's really be conscious of that and really try and do the right thing for our internet and really think 2 or 3 steps down the field. I think it's pretty important that we're all on the same page there. So I'm glad we've come to an understanding now. Anyways, that's enough of that. First set of music today, Angel's Heart, Ten On, and Faint. The band I've chosen to pull out of the mix and kind of highlight is a group called The Faint. And I don't know a lot about these guys. It's unfortunate. The web and bands don't really mix too well. So you really have to take the band in its totality before you can really understand the band or talk about the band. You can get a bit from their music, you can get a very little bit from their website, but I think until you've heard a few of their live shows and heard some interviews with them, I don't really get the sense that you can really truly understand who a band is. So it's kind of tough. So I don't know really a lot about these guys. I do get the sense they've got a great ethic, and they've definitely got a great sound. It's quite fresh. And they seem quite results oriented with their activities, if that makes any sense. They've got a great sound, as I was saying, and a solid string of tracks available from their website. So I think you can get under their skin a little bit and dig around, especially through the various promotional that's that they're out there now. But here's a great quote from their website that I think, sort of peels back a bit of that veneer and shows you a little bit of what lives at the heart of their kind of DIY-ness. The section is called Blank Wave Arcade. Eventually, Joel and I quit playing guitars. He moved to bass, and I switched to keys and still sang. And Jacob joined the band as our full-time keyboard player. From our point of view, synthesizers seem to have a limitless and almost magical quality to them. Magical in the sense you could create a keyboard sound out of almost nothing and have it perfectly fit your musical disposition. A keyboarder, too, had been part of the band since the first days of Norman Baylor, which is what we were originally called in the lo-fi, folky noise days. But it wasn't until 1998 or so that we really started to explore synthesizers. I stopped writing songs on the guitar and shifted to making them up in my head, or sometimes to the beat of my feet walking or to the sound of the windshield wiper blades. Accordingly, the song started sounding a bit different, a little bit more upbeat, which went well with our vision of a more active live show. At the time, that meant fog and strobe garden lighting. The keyboards we had access to were pretty crappy, though, and from the early 1980s. In hindsight, I think that our concept of what keyboards were and what you could do with them was probably very similar to the ideas bands had when those instruments were new. With no electronic music experience, we just played what came naturally to us, which was keyboard music from when we were youngsters in the music video age of the 1980s. The new songs felt good and right with our newfound dancey keyboardy sound, but we were really careful to make sure that our more current 90s influences were evident in every song. It was important to us that we had made some new combination of styles rather than making 80s music in the 90s. And with that, I'm going to leave you with The Birth. Oh, sorry. I'm going to leave you with Birth from The Faint. also going to not leave you with Birth. This is actually Angel's Heart. I'll talk about them in a bit.
beginning there was semen. In a deep mouth of flesh. And the crest I traveled. On a wave of feral mess. Through a tunnel of mucus. And on toward a fall. With tourists and traffic. Myself, not I as my whole self, just the half that I had before greeting the rest of my better half. A connection was made. Shared love of science and vows were taken. A seed was higher, a cavern through it, brought shape to my hide. In the months that remain, till the time of my life, I thrashed for the reason. My brains wouldn't fit through our organ sets. And a decision was made with a scalpel and mask. I should have noticed the beauty and not how it hurt. Wet like a cherry in the bloodbath of birth.
Now that was The Faint with Birth. See what happens when you change formats? You just come completely off kilter and things start to go wrong. Anyways, that album that's from, Wet From Birth, was actually written and tightened up in a rented warehouse full of broken washers and dryers that the band referred to as the orifice. Every day they would go in and just like going to the office, they'd do their band thing. And obviously it worked for them because the result is great. Birth is one of the tracks that they put together there. They're currently actually on tour with Beep Beep TV on the radio. It's amazing what you can find on the internet, isn't it? Before that, we had Sex Friend from 10 On and Been Knocked Down by Angel's Heart. That was the first track, the first band in the grouping. Angel's Heart is a West Coast new... Damn, Mike. Sorry about that, folks. Angel's Heart is a West Coast new punk band with what seems to be like some really serious intentions of breaking into the pop music scene. I guess all bands do. Personally, I don't know if they've got the that top 40 sound. The lead singer kind of has a non-standard voice, but I like them. You know, that's not to say that... not getting into the top 40 isn't the worst thing in the world. I'm going to continue listening to them. They've also got a good enough look that they've had to deny status as a boy band on their forums. In any event, I certainly expect more to hear from them, at least here on Random Bites, from them in the future. This last set that we're going to do today consists of three totally different sounding groups, not only different from each other, but different from this last set. Mirari Dead String Brothers and Citizen Smith. I've got zero on Mirari, so let's skip straight to Dead String Brothers. These guys are from Detroit Rock City, but unlike most of the bands coming out of Detroit, they aren't doing the metal thing. You know, they're not Kiss cover band or anything like that. And they're not doing the Motown thing. Rather, they've got this great country rock vibe going on that really makes them nice and listenable for a variety of occasions. Listen closely, you can hear the Stones, the Band, Dylan, a whole bunch of influences up there. I think every listen, you're gonna some new iconic band is gonna pop up and say, "Yeah, we influence these guys." Net Rhythms actually says at one point there were rumors that Graham Parsons, who toured with the Stones, might hook up with him on a full-time basis. That's kind of neat. Citizen Smith UK, I played them Are you still there? Sorry about that, folks. Citizen Smith UK played them a lot lately. I think they've made the last five shows, something like that. Again, not a lot on their website other than some really slick marketing material and a definitive statement that these guys are of the new breed of band, i.e. they get the internet and they're using it to their advantage, which kind of makes the slick marketing material that much cooler. They're in this to push popularity, to become something. And they're using the medium to its biggest potential. They've got some great stuff, and this is definitely radio quality stuff. So if you're interested, check out their website. Of course, all the websites for all of the bands in today's show and all future shows are going to be linked from www.byte.org, byte.org. So check that out. Here's some tracks for you. The ordering of the tracks is unclear because I've... Oh yeah, Mirari's first. Enjoy, this is Sing Along. And hey, feel free to sing along. I'm not going to, though. You're not going to get me to break my resolution that easy.
Your head with thoughts of me, cage them up and set them free. train car, first class with a view. Kings and queens, they bow to him. They never thought that he might win. Now they know he do, yeah. Sweet your love, how long must I wait? Long, long over, asleep at your gate. You kill me forever, for I stand where I stand. If he do, he might find a knife stuck right in his neck. If you find yourself with the neighbor's daughter bathing in some cool, clear waters of a long forgotten stream, yeah. You better check over that feeble shoulder for a sharp and fast approaching boulder in hopes that it's a dream. You're a fucking sham hanging in those trees. I hear the diamonds, they come from coal. You polish it and it sell gold. I wonder where you've been. Sweet young lover, how long must I wait? Long, long over, asleep at your.
Dead String Brothers with Entitled. Here's some Citizen Smith UK with Pixel.
Combine 16 million times.
Yummy. That was Citizen Smith with, of course, with Pixel. I really like these guys. I really, really do. And I wish them the best of luck with their quest. Before that was Entitled by the Dead String Brothers, and we led things off with Sing Along by Mirari. Well, that's it for me this week. I really hope that you like this new installment of Random Bytes Radio. Please, please, please drop me a note at ross@twocows.com with your comments. And I'd like to thank each and every one of you for popping by and listening in. So thank you. And thank you. And thank you. And thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you. 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 Anyways, that was a Steve Martin shtick. This is Ross Rader signing off for another week. Until next time, I remain truly yours. Have a great week, folks. Don't forget, throughout 2005, that not the only ones on this planet. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other's. Let's try and make this whole thing a little bit better for absolutely everybody.